Welcome back to the Garden with Joy and Holly radio show. Glad that you allow us to be part of your day-to-day and that you will be part of ours. Well, speaking of weather not being cooperative, many parts of the country are dealing with a severe drought. The West, the Southeast, everywhere has got some level of drought. Tree Diaper can help all of our gardens grow a little bit better with the Tree Diaper.
Before Tree Diaper, watering trees, shrubs, and bushes was not your favorite job on your property. But with Tree Diaper, it's not really a job. Tree Diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases stored rainwater when plants need it. The Tree Diaper is filled with water from rain or when you water and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, Tree Diaper will help you improve the way you water your plants. Every time it rains, Tree Diaper recharges. It's made in the USA. You can check out all the sizes they have available at treediaper.com. That's treediaper.com.
Well, August is nearing the calendar, so there is some things in which we can do in the month of August in our garden. Now, there are certain degree of or certain caliber or group of gardeners that think that gardening starts Memorial Day weekend in many portions of the northern parts of the United States, and Labor Day, it's over, it's done, we're going home, we'll see you next spring. However, there is a lot of opportunity before Memorial Day and after Labor Day for the garden, and we're going to talk about some of the things in order to prepare here. But first, we talked about it in segment one, we're going to talk about it again in segment two, is weeding. There's always weeding to be done. And you may think, well, at this point, why does it matter? Well, it matters because if you don't weed and you let those weeds go, what happens to those weeds?
Those weeds seed.
There you go. And then now instead of one thistle or one piece of fescue, you've got a whole field.
Right.
That's graciously growing in your backyard that you could have slowed down that possibility of having that mess.
Right. So that is definitely something you want to make sure you are on top of.
Even if you don't want to pull the weeds, just hack them so they don't produce seed. When you see that seed pod, you know, if you really want to just, you know, I don't want to, just go out there with the shears like Brutus the Barber Beefcake had, WWF way back. You know what I'm talking about? You have no idea who I'm talking about.
No.
There's people that they're nodding their head.
Well, that's fine.
And just go and just knock those seed pods.
Knock them down like Brutus.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you also want to harvest. You want to harvest, obviously, but you want to harvest frequently.
Right.
And thoroughly.
If you don't,
you're going to get massive vegetables, and you might think, well, what's wrong with having the largest zucchini or the longest beans or
you
whatever?
Can't eat them.
You can't eat them. They become oftentimes chewy. They become not very edible. Woody, some stuff turns kind of stringy.
Well, when the beans get real long, the actual seed inside of it matures and it becomes very difficult to eat. In addition, the plant shuts down. Its job is to produce seed for the next generation. It doesn't care that you're picking to can or freeze.
Right.
And then the zucchini, we did find there is an alternative if you do, and most of us will walk into the garden and find a 15-pound zucchini that we didn't know existed.
That's when you drop it off on your neighbor's doorstep.
Well, you could do that, or you can make zucchini relish out of it.
Yes, you can make zucchini relish.
And it's a great, great thing to do with those very, very large. I think it's better than cucumber relish.
I think it's delicious, too.
You don't even have to have it on anything. You just eat it.
Right. So anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to harvest frequently and thoroughly. You want to continually harvest. You want to make sure, you know, tomatoes. If you go to your garden and you think the tomato looks ready, but, oh, I'll just wait one more day, just harvest it then. It's better to do it now and then before you wait the next day and then you forget and then it's next week. And
or somebody picks it or something gets it. The pigmentation of a tomato ripens. It ripens from the bottom up. So if you see the base of the tomato beginning to change on your tomatoes that do change to a red, green, or a red, yellow, orange, purple color, go ahead and harvest it a couple of days early. And then here's the other thing. If you've got I think it's called a grandma sausage and a green zebra, those don't change color. Or there's a big beefsteak that is a green variety. So you kind of got to know what you planted so you're not waiting for that green tomato to change when it's never going to change because it's not going to.
Right. So you want to keep that in mind. But I think the point is that you might think, okay, if I let this go, I'll remember it or whatever. And that might not always be the case. So just make sure you're.
This is why you're growing a garden, for the frequently available, low cost items that you can harvest, bring in, and eat or preserve.
Right. So you also want to, on that note, you want to think about what did well. So maybe you grew okra for the first time and you're like, I don't know if I got the reward I wanted. I don't even like okra.
Cauliflower or broccoli.
Yeah. So you want to think about that and then also, you know, note that maybe you planted it wrong or some, who knows, whatever. Or maybe you're just like, I don't think this is going to grow. Note that for next year.
Right.
And then also note what did well.
Or here's the other thing. Note the things, if you've started stuff from seed versus what you got from the garden center. What did better? Why did the garden center stuff do better? Was my seedlings or my starts too small? Were the seeds that I was growing or starting them with too old and didn't have a good germination rate? It is important to invest in good quality products or materials or plants if you want to do this the right way. Just like golfers or car collectors or trap shooters, they don't buy the El Cheapo stuff and then expect things to really be great and they win rewards and they're able to hit exactly what they're shooting at. They invest in good quality pieces of equipment and do things right the first time.
Right. And also, like you had said, you know, maybe something didn't grow well, but maybe something grew really well. You know, that's good to keep in mind as well. So, with that being said, maybe you want to think about fall planting at this point.
It all depends on where you're at and how long things need to be in the ground prior to your average first frost of the fall. Things like lettuce or things like radishes, for example, take 30 days to reach maturity. So and they don't like heat very much. So you would want to plant those farther into the fall months before a freeze would come upon you. For example, we grow in Zone 5 turnips and rutabagas. They get planted the first week in August. Rutabagas take 90 days to reach maturity. Turnips take 60 days to reach maturity. So they are kind of done in that first week. We usually harvest whatever we have available that first week in November, because we get that, typically we get a snow or a hard freeze at that point.
Right.
And we'll talk about in a couple of weeks growing great garlic, but start looking for garlic. That's a crop that you should be putting in the ground.
So if you are going to do fall planting, you can kind of transition that into thinking about winter planting. Maybe you've heard one of our guests talk about cold frames or low tunnels or poly tunnels, whatever, and you want to think about that, this might be the time for you to do a little research and planning for winter planting, winter growing.
Yeah, anything you plant in the spring, you can plant in the fall. You just got to be, you know, do your research. There's some things that's going to do better versus all that, you know, your peas, your radishes, lettuce, spinach, turnips, rutabagas, kale, cabbage, you know, all that stuff. So keep that in mind. Divide your perennial flowers. Now is the time getting to that point where you can divide them. And make sure that if you're going to divide a perennial flower, that flower can be divided, because there are some that if you divide them, you kill them. There's some that you can hack the heck out of and they laugh at you and just keep growing. There's other ones that you look at it wrong and it's done.
I have a lot of friends, acquaintances, what have you, on social media who bought your first house this year, and you have questions about, like, what do I do with all these hostas or all these bleeding hearts or tiger lilies or whatever you have. This is the time where you're going to divide those, maybe pass them on to somebody.
Oh, your mom hates the daylilies. The more she digs, the more the roots there are. Yeah. They're kind of to the level of invasiveness.
They're a little bit invasive.
She just digs and throws them, just not happy with them.
And that's the other thing, is if you bought your first house and you're like, okay, I've gone from maybe doing a couple containers, I want to transform my backyard, whatever, this is the time to think about it. You have the full foliage, so you can determine where the sun's going to be, and you can plan where you're going to put your vegetables next year.
Look up. Fertilize. It still is important to fertilize. There's certain plants that do like a fuller feed or a liquid feed or a granular feed around the base. We're in almost August, so you can still add fertilizer around your tomatoes. Give them a little boost, whether it's liquid, whether that's a compost tea, whether that's a manure tea. Follow the instructions or do research so you're not overfeeding them. But that's going to help give a little more umped, a little more energy boost to these plants before, to get another month in, another 2 months, 60 days, 65 days, because there's a lot of growing time still left on these plants.
Right. So, yeah, you can definitely think about fertilizing. And then what else do we have?
Well, there's many things in which you can be doing now. But I guess the biggest thing is know what did good, know what didn't do good, and enjoy. Just sit out in the garden and look and enjoy the time, whether it's a big garden, a couple of containers, or the whole backyard. Take a little time and enjoy what you've got.
Especially if you have bird feeders. It's really peaceful to sit out there, watch the birds, and like Joy said, just enjoy it. And even if you're just going to, maybe you have an irrigation system, but now that the evenings are pretty decent, maybe you go out there and you do your hand watering.
Right.
Yeah.
So summer's in full swing, as we're all very aware of it. And we are seeing in our neck of the woods, and I'm sure you are as well, the Japanese beetles. And they are not coming in just to say hi. They're wreaking havoc on our gardens.
If you're looking to successfully control beetles without damaging the environment, look no further than Beetle Gone from Phylum Bioproducts. Derived from a naturally occurring soil bacteria, Beetle Gone is the only organic solution that successfully controls beetle invaders. Just mix the powder with water and spray it on your plants. Once ingested, the targeted pest will stop feeding and die. And since it's an organic BT product, you know it's a great choice to use on your fruits and veggies in addition to your ornamental flowers and trees.
Not only is Beetle Gone works, not only does it work well, but the best part about it, it is safe to use around beneficial insects like butterflies, bees, and ladybugs, and has zero water toxicity. That's Beetle Gone from Phylum Bioproducts. That's Phylum Bioproducts.com.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.